At this time, we're just so honored, of course, to receive Reverend Patsy. Folks, just such a dynamic ministry. Reverend Patsy, thank you for being here, coming all the way from Australia, praise the Lord, and of course, coming into our winter wonderland and everything, glory to God. And just so you know, Reverend Patsy was, you know, raised in the United States. So I know some of you are looking forward to a hearty g'day, you know, right? But you know, she's an American citizen, born and, you know, raised right here in America. I know some of you are like, oh no, you will not be disappointed, right? Praise the Lord. So at this time, let's give a warm family church welcome to Reverend Patsy Caminiti.
So good to have you here. So good. It's an honor. It's an honor.
Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Before you sit down, Colorado, as vanilla as you can get. We've lived there 18 years and I still talk like this. What is with that? But let's do something. We've just had the most wonderful time already in worship. But together, can we one more time? But I'd like us to do it this way. You know, one of the ways that we engage with God, I mean, God is infinite. How do we even approach someone like that? He cannot be contained in any building or, and thank God he can't. He can't be restrained with any governments or laws. He's above everything. But how do you even engage with someone like that? He gives us his name. And in that name are many names. We were singing Faithful. Of course, his name is Jesus, but there are many things that he identified. He gave a name to himself so that we'd know how to interact with him. He is merciful. He is kind. Those are just wonderful things, but they're actually ways he interacts with us. That's ways he functions. He's the healer. He's the redeemer. He is a shepherd that guides. He's all these wonderful things. So before we just worship him again, look inside at something he has been to you. Maybe friend. Maybe comforter. If it isn't something that he has been, it's something that you need him to be to you, a provider, maybe healer. And let's lift up his name. There'll be different names that are lifted up in this one congregation. But let's lift up the name of our dear God that the Holy Spirit stirs in your own heart. Let's lift up his name together. Can we do it? Go ahead. Oh, thank you, Father. Alpha and Omega, you are the beginning and the end. Hallelujah, I worship you. My beginning and my end, I thank you. I don't have to wonder how things are going to end. I thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for who you are to each person here this morning, who you have been, who you will be, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. It's so good to be here. It's been, I'm so happy to be in New York. When you tell people in Australia, I'm in New York, they only know New York City. Poor things. This is a great part of New York, you know. Oh, this would be the part I like. I already ticked New York City off. Okay, I've done that. Got the t-shirt and the picture and all that kind of a deal. But this kind of New York, Oh, it's so pretty. It's also nice because it is like blasting hot in Australia. It's just in the throes of summer. And hot, and humid. We live in the state of Queensland, which is a little bit closer to the equator. And man alive, it's just so nice to cool off properly and see what Christmas could have looked like. Man, you know, Colorado, you know, just indelibly impresses you, you know. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's good to be here. He's here. He's here. He's got good things for us this year. His purposes and plans aren't broken down into years. They're eternal. But he does work with us in this slice of time. We understand things with seasons. He gave us seasons. We understand things with days. He gave us days, even though he's eternal, and in heaven there is no night. He is the light. He can never turn off, so it just stays light. And but he does engage with us while we're in these bodies that are made of this earth, and he engages with us in time. And it's so good of him who is eternal. There are no confines, as we've already talked about, no limits to him, but he still relates to us in ways that we can understand. I love that about him. He's not just a know-it-all that shows off. He is actually a know-it-all. He knows it all, but he's not like smug and throws that kind of knowledge and holds it above our heads like I know it and you don't know it. He knows it, but he wants to share what he knows, and he shares things in measures that we can actually get it. And then he gives things, he helps us to understand things in ways that we'll understand, like examples. When Jesus, who was the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us, the examples that he gave was, you know, like farming and sheep and, you know, just normal stuff. He didn't try to impress us with the wonders of the universe and, you know, stuff that people couldn't have gotten. He talks our language, but getting a little bit more specific, he talks your language. So for me, he talks in pictures. He shows me things in pictures. Maybe because I've always had an imagination, and I like to imagine things and not just see things that I'm seeing with my eyes, but also imagine what something looks like someplace else and all. And he uses that for me because that's how he made me. So ever how he made you, he knows how to talk to you. Let's trust him to talk to us in this year. He's been talking all the time. But let's expect for us to hear and engage in a way that we've never engaged before. Years ago, I had a dream. Also dreams, you know. He can, when you turn the channel off of all your busy mind, he can get in there sometimes when you're not blabbing and talk. And sometimes that's in the nighttime. I love that. Well, I had a dream. And in this dream, I had a magnificent sword. It was beautiful, beautiful sword. But as I was looking at the sword, I noticed that the blade of the sword was all dinged up. You know, like little chinks in the, and it wasn't sharp or anything. It looked good. It looked good. It just wasn't sharp. And further than that, it was dinged, as I said. So I thought, what is that? In the dream, you know, I just was sad about that. But it's a pity that such a pretty sword is in this kind of condition in the blade. The next day, I woke up. When I woke up, I asked the Lord, because I knew that just stuck with me. Then I woke up thinking about that sword. So I asked him, I said, what was that sword? What was that? And are you trying to tell me something? He said, yeah. And then I saw a picture on the inside. And in that picture, I saw myself banging that sword on a rock. Like this would be a rock. I was just banging that sword on a rock. And that's what made the dings in it. I did it. I dinged my own sword. Dulled my own sword. And I thought, why? And how am I doing that? Why would I do that? So I asked, do you know, one of the greatest things that you can do in conversation with God is ask him questions. Not like accusing questions like, why didn't that, you know. We get our fist out of the face of God and humbly ask him questions, because then we can learn. So prayer is not just telling God what to do. It isn't just giving him orders of what to do and orders of like a Burger King of what we want. And I'd like this and I'd like this and hold the onions and da-da-da and, you know, no. It is, it's engaging with him. And because he's so smart, then we ask him questions. Because questions mean that we actually believe he's smarter and he could tell us something. He could tell us something about every area of our life if we were humble enough to ask him. One of the things that can be a hindrance in our life is ignorance. I'll get back to that sword in a little bit, but ignorance can be a terrible thing because, like the Bible said, you can be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But sometimes if you just don't know something, if you don't know maybe what insurance covers or maybe a contract that you have, if you don't know all of the benefits of something, or if you don't know different things that are involved with different areas of your life or different things that you have or appliance that you have, and somebody else says, well, it does this, you think it does? It's what I do with my phone. I see people doing things with it, and I think, I got one of those. Did you get something more? Did you have something put on it? No, that's it comes. It's just that way. I didn't know that. But see, because you don't know that, then, yeah. You just don't function any higher than your knowledge. So ignorance is a horrible thing. So I have a 21, nearly 22-month-old grandbaby. And it's, you know, you see the wonder of it again, where every sense in their whole person is just taking in information constantly. As soon as they wake up, they're taking in, but they're a child. After you start taking in, you have a working knowledge of some stuff. Sometimes you don't feel the need to take in. So that's why, you know, it's so important that the Lord said, We have to come as children and not be all up on ourselves. Because not only is ignorance a challenge, but knowledge is also a challenge. So Proverbs 3, 4, and 5 says, trust in the Lord with what? And lean not unto your own understanding. And your own understanding, if you don't know anything, you know that. So you come in humble-like. You come in to learn. But if you start getting some understanding, and sometimes just living gives you some understanding, you learn some stuff just along the line. It takes intentional choice to humble yourself to learn. If I were to pour this into a container, I couldn't pour it, like if the container was right up here, I couldn't pour it from here. I'd have to be in a higher position to pour it. And so in Hebrews 7:7, you can write that down, talking about Melchizedek, there's a principle there. It says the lesser is blessed by the greater. The lesser is blessed by the greater. And so it's intentional for us to come to him, and lean in, lean down, bow our hearts, bow our understanding. We may have accumulated some kind of understanding, but could God say something to a couple who have been married 47 years? Does he know something about your spouse after all these years that you don't? If you think you know it, that proud, I know it. Because I got to fix my belt. It might be a project. If you think you know something, you won't humble yourself to get it. Can you get up here and help somebody out? Oh, I fixed it. Come here, sweet Jessica. You help me get off the floor. Thank you, love. So, does he know something about your children that you don't know? Does he know something about your job? Well, I've been working in it years. Does he know something about it that you don't know? Does he know something about your body that you don't know? Does he know something about your finances that you don't know? I reckon he knows something about everything. But we have to intentionally humble ourselves to get that knowledge from him. He's willing to give it. He's so willing to give and to give and to give and to give. But we have to intentionally humble ourselves. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. When you don't have any understanding, you know that, and so you don't lean to it. And you sign up for the class. But when you get some understanding, sometimes you think, I should be teaching the class. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. All your ways. Only the ways that you want his wisdom. Only those ways. I was sitting by a businessman when I flew into Buffalo. And he wanted to talk. We got to talking about the Lord. He was born and raised Catholic. And he asked me this question. He said, isn't Jesus in every person? And I said, well, actually, he wants to be. He wants to be. And actually, the work that he did that you're so familiar with that he did made it possible for him to be in every person. But unlike some people with power who abuse that power and become dictatorial with it and become oppressive with that power, he doesn't. He only comes where he is invited. And it is that way in our own lives. He's actively involved in the areas of our life that we invite him into. And so what I have stirring in my heart is there are things that he knows about different areas of your life that he invites you to know. But you'll have to sign up for the class. Sign up for the class. He wants to take people from health, even though you're getting older, that you're not getting more unhealthy. You're getting healthier. Is that even possible? Yes, it is possible. Healthy. He wants marriages to come up on a different level. He wants families to be on a higher level, but not by their own energies, but by really an infusion of the divine in them. You know, about, and I'm coming back to the sword in a little bit, but when things unravel and become so indistinct through lies of the devil about individuals, about a gender, about marriage, about family, about all kinds, if they become really unraveled and indistinct, and the narrative or what you say about that comes under fire and becomes really combatible. I know I have a friend who works in NASA, and there's all kind of instruction to the employees of what they can and what they cannot say in that work environment about most everything. And in one place, I know Tony was just telling me, in one denomination, they've decided not to use the terminology husband and wife because it's offensive to some people. So you see, there can be all kind of different kind of unraveling. Well, when things become indistinct like that, and they just start falling apart like that, rather than fighting it out like this, what God does is he just elevates the example of it. Remember when there was such an indistinct idea of who God is, what did he do? He sent his own son. The word actually became flesh, so much to the point that Jesus said, if you've seen me, what? So he gave a living example of it rather than a sermon of it. There are lots of words about who God is and how God is and all that, but what God's best sermon was in the person of Jesus. He just walked and he talked and he interacted and he did what he did with children and people and poor people and rich people and sick people and sinner people. And you just watch Jesus and you know how the Father is. And then nobody can wonder anymore. Because that's just conclusive. The way Jesus is the way the Father is. And you know what God's best sermon on a man is? There's some good ones. I teach on the subject. I mean, there's heaps of wonderful verses that are just... And then I love all the things that the Bible says about women. Whoa! And it's true about women around the world. It just is. But the best sermon is a man who walks like God created him to walk and interacts the way God has created him to interact. And people just watch and wonder, oh, they can have all kind of different things, narrative of the world going on, but they just watch that man. And then it's like, oh. I'm not talking about the default negatives that people say, what are men like? And you know, a lot of times the list ensues, you know, just, and the same thing goes with women too. But what did God make man to look like? What does a father look like? There's so many, my truth, well, my truth, my opinion. And you can try to engage in sermons and argue and get all heated up about it. Or how about just live it? Just be it. And what happens when you be it is God gives elevation to it. Just like this platform is elevated so you can see better, God elevates people who are demonstrating him and his purposes. So I'm just saying, as we humble ourselves under his hand, the Bible says he will lift us up. Lift us up in what? Lift us up in a place where you can be an example of what the will of God actually looks like. So people can have all kind of combative, this truth, that narrative, or, but what do you do with the way that man is? He just is. Watch him interact with his kids. Watch him interact with his wife and vice versa, the woman. And there's elevation. So we humble under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt. Exaltation isn't just about, you know, that we can just be happier and wealthier and more, you know, have more amazing stuff about us. And no, it's prominence and a position where people look at us. So well, I don't want anybody to look at us. Actually, God needs people to look at you. We say, don't look at me, just look at him. They can't see him. He's a spirit. That's why he gave the first son, and the first son became flesh and dwelt among us so that people could see what God looked like, hear what God sounds like. Amen. Yeah, God needs people to look at you. I'm not comfortable with that. Well, then just humble under his hand. The thing about it is you become less and less aware that people are looking at you because you're not looking at you either. You finally got your eyes off yourself. You're not self-conscious anymore. You're Jesus conscious. And the more Jesus conscious you are, the bigger he's getting on the inside of you. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to get back to that sword in a little bit. I was telling Miss Katie, she's Polish. I didn't know that. Did you know that? And I told her, you know, we went there in ministry a couple times, and Poland has some beautiful women. And you got an example right here, don't you reckon? And but anyway, we went there. We were living in Italy at the time. And we took our kids up there with us. And I was just telling the pastors before the service, after the seminar was over, we went to Auschwitz, a terrible place. But anyway, that's where they wanted to take us. And we were keen to go. But we had these little girls, I'd say. I think Anna was maybe 6, maybe 5. And Lily is 19 months older than her. So they were little kids, and bringing them into that really hideous place. So where terrible things happened. So we went through it all, you know. We were in there in wintertime. It was harsh. It was cold, really, really cold in Poland in the winter, which kind of accentuated how horrible that place must have been in the wintertime, you know, for people that hardly had any clothes on. Anyway, when we left, my daughters were just silent in the car. They were just silent. I think the last place we ended up was at the ovens, you know, where they cremated just thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But so, you know, it's a very heavy thing. Whoa! So my little girls, I was sitting in the back seat with my little girls, and Lily, she finally spoke up. She said, "Mama, how could people be so mean to people?" That's an interesting question from a child. How could people be so mean to people? So there you are, you know. So it was the winter time, and we both had gloves and stuff like that on. And I got her glove out, and I said, "Our bodies are like your glove." And I put it on her hand. I said, "The devil got in people, and he's mean. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But how does he do it? He got in people's body and did it. It wasn't just people being mean to people. It was the devil being mean to people through their bodies." They get cooperated, but I mean, you know. And she was like, she got it. The devil wore humans like a glove and just did what he wanted to do. But you can't leave it like that with a child. You can't leave it that way with yourself either, you know. So I got her other glove. I said, "But when Jesus comes in her heart," and I put her other glove on, I said, "He wants to live through us. So his goodness, his kindness, his forgiveness, his truth, everything about him is seen in us. It's not us living for him. It's him living in us." The Old Testament was about living for. He lives in us. The process is this man had to die so that this one could be born again. Jesus is living on the inside of us. But you know, those kind of gloves that have, not mittens, the gloves with the fingers. You got to make sure your fingers are in each finger. Have you ever gotten two fingers in one finger that was big enough? Or maybe, you know, you have to work it sometime. And get that finger up in that finger. You know what I'm talking about. In that finger of the glove. Sometimes, in a different in an area of our life, we've not humbled ourselves to him in. There's no finger in there. His person isn't manifesting in that area of our life. If something is a muck, if something isn't right, if something is diminished, if something isn't healthy, if something is toxic, it's just a deficiency of him in that area. That's all. Let's get him in every finger. Amen. So he can be seen. We humble ourselves and he puts us into prominence, place of visibility in our communities, in our businesses. And he puts a light. It is actually his light. We are the light. And people, just as Pastor prayed this morning, people that sit in darkness start seeing a great light. They don't even know why they're looking, because you're not like, it's not like you're dangling fish on your earrings or, you know, you're not wearing the jewelry, even if you do. It's not about that. There's just something attractive about you. And they just look. What is that? And sometimes they watch for a while. And they don't just watch on Sunday mornings when you're not in your house and you've mysteriously gone someplace. Praise the name of the Lord. Can you just put your hand up? Hallelujah. Lord, we're just so thankful you clothe us with yourself. You clothe us. We've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. In us. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the light is turning up this year. In you and through you and in practical ways. Yes, greater service, but I'm talking in a dark place, they see you. So wherever you work, wherever you go to school, wherever you interact, in your neighborhood, while you're mowing your yard, while you shop, everywhere you are, he's turning up the light. Hallelujah. You know, it is so for people. I don't know why this is doing this, but anyway, who cares? Do you care? Well, you have to say that, don't you? Because I've just asked you. Anyway. So you can see sometimes somebody, a fellow brother and sister, and you think, man, they're glowing with God. You know why they're glowing with God? It isn't because God has a special thing on. He could have a special anointing on. But I'm talking about not when they're just functioning with. But I'm talking about in life they're glowing. Jesus wasn't just glowing when he was in the temple. He glowed all the time. There was never a time when Jesus said, everybody close your eyes. I've just got a moment. I'm going to be, you know, bad. He just glowed all the time. He was visible anytime. I like that. That's clean. But a person who glows is... it isn't because there's something extra special about them or about God's dealing with them. It's that they've identified him in themselves. It's not about themselves. It's about they're acknowledging him in them. everybody can glow if we put our eyes on him. Hallelujah. I've had people stop me in the airport while I'm walking down the airport, and they said, there's something about you. What is that something? It's him. It's him. It's not my outfit or my hair that's falling down right now. I tell you guys, what is the deal here? I've got my belt, my hair. So you can be a little disheveled on the outside, but you can still shine on the inside. Okay, let's finish this with the sword. So I said, what about this? Why did you show me this? And how did I do that? What was I doing that was beating that sword on the rock? He said, it's when I told you something and you didn't respond. Whoa. Okay, so these two things, guys, these two things. We're humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We're humbling ourselves, not leaning to our own understanding, getting all puffed up with knowledge, because knowledge does puff up. So we think, oh, we know that person. Not like God does. Relationships can be sweeter. I feel to go back over this. Relationships can be sweeter if we're not all in pride and thinking we know. He knows things. So we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he lifts us up. But once he shows us something, we have to respond. You say, what do you mean respond? It's an interesting thing, and I'm just telling you this so that you have, you're sensitized to it, to do it this year. You've already been doing it, but sometimes, at least for me, I didn't realize I was doing it sometimes and not doing it sometimes, and that is responding to God. God will talk to you and will speak to you and give you nudges where you feel peace or you feel ugh, and or you'll feel compassion towards something, you'll feel to pray about something, you feel to talk to something, you feel to give to something, you feel, I don't think I should go to that. I think I should turn that off. I think I shouldn't eat that. But I want to. But I don't feel like I should. But are you just feel, you feel prompted. So it's wonderful when you got that happening. Because the Holy Spirit is driving your car then, you know. You can drive a car so much easier from the inside of the car than reaching in and trying to steer it like this. And the new birth made it so he got in the car, and he's steering. But you have to respond when he gives you something, a picture. You see yourself doing something. Do it. Do it. Follow through. In the follow-through, and this is what he told me to help redeem that awful picture of that dinged-up sword, he said, you dinged your sword up by not responding to me. But he said, you sharpen your sword when you do. Every time you respond to me, it sharpens your sword. Hallelujah. Of course, we know Jesus' words were so sharp, so powerful. He always did what he heard the Father do and say. He simply responded. So the communication thing is in the heart. Notice this. I'm saying this in the beginning still of this year. I believe this year will be an augmentation of the voice of God in his body. Because we're not only going to hear, humble to him and hear, but we're also going to do what he tells us to do. Hallelujah. Do you know how this state, what's the name of this county? Chautauqua. That's quite a declaration. Chautauqua County, all come into the Lord. What a great declaration. How does that happen? How does that happen? He uses the good folk in Chautauqua County that are his own people. And we actually do what he tells us to do. The light gets turned up till it glows and you can see Chautauqua County from outer space. A glow of the glory of God. Hallelujah. We have a treasure, 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, in these earthen vessels. His presence is that treasure. His glory is that treasure. In these earthen vessels, that the power of God would be seen to be not of us, but of him. But that glory glows externally, not just hidden in a box, but it comes through your eyes. It comes through your mouth. It glows through your person as you acknowledge his wisdom and just not only acknowledge it, but respond to him. Oh Lord, help us respond. And we're going to end here in just a little bit, but I want us to pray. Can you come and begin to just play? I want us to just pray. I want you to lay your hand on yourself. Hallelujah. Won't lay hands on every single person here this morning, but you got hands, and I'd like you just to lay hands on your own self and acknowledge, say this, I have the glory. The glory of God rests on me. The glory of God lives in me. Jesus lives in me. And Jesus lives through me. Whatever Jesus wants, he can do through me. Hallelujah. Let's do something else. Let's just give our bodies up to him. Can we just stand and do that? Hallelujah. Lord, our bodies are carriers of the very presence of God. Your hands in my hands, your eyes in my eyes. Hallelujah. You walk in my walk and you talk through my mouth. Hallelujah. Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, it comes back up in me again. Close your eyes. I'm going to just say it again. He wants it said. There are some adjustments in relationships that are in this room. I'm not sure anybody else would know. He does, because we're not living for the pleasure of man or for the approval of man. But to the eyes of the Lord, there are some things, some adjustments he wants to make in some relationships so that his glory is not eclipsed, but that it actually shines through. He wants to use relationships. He wants to use family relationships, marriage relationships, and friendships. 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 Hallelujah. Ere ke troskiliritan gyatuta, and so osekle deje, and so crooked things will become straight. Get it? And rough places smooth. Till his personality and his purpose for every relationship is realized and visible Hallelujah. Can we just praise him a little bit here? He just loves us. He's so kind. He's just so kind. He's so kind. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for this congregation. And you have been and you are, and I declare your work in them and over them individually and as a congregation. You are preparing them for what you have prepared for them. That's the word I got during the worship service this morning. He is preparing you for what he has prepared for you. He's got great things prepared for you. And there is this amazing season of preparation, of aligning with him. Individually, as couples, as families, as friendships, and as a congregation, preparing you for what he has prepared for you. Do believe that you're going from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. I thank you for every person here, for every person's relationship with the Father, with every person's relationship with Jesus Christ and interaction with the Holy Spirit. I acknowledge them before you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Dear, hallelujah. God bless you, dear pastor.
Bless you. We glorify you and thank you, Lord, for what we received. Father, we know that it is life-changing. And Lord, we purpose in our hearts, we make that decision right here, right now, to respond to you. Father God, to do your will, to have a sincere and tender heart, to purpose with everything we are to do your will. Of course, starting with your written word, but also to the things that you speak to us individually. Father, we just bless you. We worship you, Holy God. We just bless you. Come on, church, let's just worship him. Father, you are so good. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, before we move towards the end of the service, no one's looking around. It's not about a publicity thing or anything like that. Everyone just go ahead and ask themselves right now this question in their own heart. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Is Jesus living in me right now? You know, the Bible says over there in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess or speak or declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That is the first and foremost desire of God for every human being on this earth. To have the blood of Jesus Christ wash us and cleanse us of all sin. And of course, I know I'm standing in a room with many, many believers here this morning. But in the event that there may be one or more, that you'd say, Pastor, I've never done that. I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm uncertain about my eternal destiny. I encourage you today to get certain. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me, I know it in my heart. God's dealing with me on the inside, and I need to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Folks, I'm not here to walk up to you. I'm not here to make a spectacle of you. I'm not here to try to embarrass anybody. I'm not gonna call you down front today. I'm not gonna walk up to you. What I'm simply gonna do is I'm gonna ask you to take a step towards God and lift your hand and say, yes, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can be sincere with God, invite Jesus into your heart, and make that step into eternal life. Because God loves you. He's got such a great plan for your life. You don't want to miss it. So if that's you, could you just take that step and lift your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, can you lift your hand right now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice that you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anyone else that would say, Pastor, that's me. I know I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here today and there was a time when you confessed Jesus as your Savior, but maybe you've walked away in your life with Him, and maybe today you need to rededicate your life to Him. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you as well. Could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice? They'd say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. Just want to make sure. Well, we did have a couple of hands. We want to make sure to pray. If you were one of the ones that lifted your hand, pray these words with us. Mean it with all your heart. Speak to the Lord. He'll hear you. And everybody, I just invite you to go ahead and pray along with me. Let's all pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I tell you what, we've been helped here today. The Lord has touched all of our hearts. We're changed from the inside out. Glory to God. You can go ahead and be seated. Reverend Patsy, thank you so much. I'll tell you what, wasn't that rich this morning? I mean, it is rich. Full of God and full of God's presence. I'm not trying to, you know, grandstand anything, but it's a little difficult to stay standing up here. I mean, whew, glory to God. And so we're going to get ready to receive a love offering for Reverend Patsy's ministry. Folks, how many of you know to travel from Australia and come to the States and all these places of the world? I mean, I know very few that go to all the places that Reverend Patsy goes, and we get to participate in that right now. And so we're going to be just taking a love offering to help fund that ministry to go all over the world. I'll tell you what, we've been changed here today. Amen. Folks, you know that we've started off this year, you know, teaching in this church about making sure our hearts are tender to do the will of God. Amen. Isn't that what we've been talking about over the last several weeks? Well, here we go, right along that same exact flow, you know, to have a tender heart just to do whatever he says. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do have extra offering envelopes there in your seat if you'd like to avail yourself. If you're making out checks, you could just make them out to Family Church at the end of tonight. We will make sure that we bless Reverend Patsy and her ministry as she goes. We'll give, you know, one check at the end. It doesn't matter what color envelope you use for this offering. We're going to make sure all of it goes to her ministry. Let's go ahead. Let's pray before God. Let's just count this such a blessing and an honor. Father God, we thank you. Lord, not only does your word tell us that it's right for us to sow into those that have taught us, but Father God, we just take it. We love to sow. Father, we love to give. We love to think of all the souls, all the people's lives that are changed in this ministry as Reverend Patsy goes forward. Thank you, Lord God, for the gift on her life. Thank you, Lord, for somebody who knows you who lives it day in and day out. And Lord God, we are so blessed here today. And Lord, as we sow good seed into good ground, we know that harvest is imminent. And Lord God, we're not just thinking of that in a selfish manner. Father, harvest of souls, Father God, all the things that happen when we sow into your kingdom. Father, we just bless you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Wow. I'll tell you what. This almost seems like a ridiculous question at this point. Where are you going to be tonight at 6:30? Be right here. Folks, I know and I understand that sometimes natural things, you know, speak very loudly to us. But I'm here to tell you, put God's things first. Amen. Praise the Lord. Get fed. Get filled with God. We have such a wonderful opportunity. You know, Jesus said over there in John chapter 13 in verse 20, he said, as you have received those that I've sent to you, so have you received me. And so we are to treat those that God sends to us as if we would be treating Jesus himself. With that honor, with that respect, amen, glory to God. And so 6:30 tonight, we do have childcare. Be here. I believe we're going to go ahead and put the pulpit right down on the floor and just receive all that the Lord has for us. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. And let's just give God all the glory. Father, we just glorify you today. We magnify you, Lord God. Father, you are so faithful. You are so good. We love you. We praise you. And Father, I just command your hand of blessing upon each one that are here today. That Lord, that the words spoken would sink deep into their hearts. That Lord God, we just say 2024 is going to be the best year yet. Because we're walking with you. Father, we thank you that you are living in us. And Father God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Before you're dismissed, folks, if you don't have an opportunity, if you haven't had an opportunity yet, Reverend Patsy has her books and her materials in our narthex. Check that out. This is a ministry that'll bless your life. Amen. You are dismissed.